Sometimes that's hard to trust, though. Would you agree with me that it's hard to understand that God is in control when we look around at the things that are going on? It's hard to put your faith in God when things aren't working out the way that they should. And it's been pointed out Sunday after Sunday this past year what a difficult year it's been. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I do want to spend some time on just how faithful God is and how faithful God has been, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And He's going to continue to be that way. I heard about a man who walked into a flower shop one day, asked the lady working there if he had any potted, or if she had any potted geraniums, and she said, "No, we don't have any right now." And she said, "Could you use some African violets?" He said, no, I'm pretty sure it was potted geraniums that my wife told me to water." And how many of you have ever done something like that? You say, "Yeah, I'm going to do something," but then you don't do what you're supposed to do. Anybody with me on that? Why is it so often in life we say we're going to do something, we say we're going to follow up, we say we're going to do something for somebody, and then we don't do it? We either forget about it or something else comes up, maybe something we deem more important, and then we make excuses, and sometimes we even flat out lie to cover ourselves up. Over 50% of husbands and wives break their marriage vows. They stood before God and stood before their family, stood before their friends and said, "I promise, till death do us part." And over 50% break their vows. I think even more than that probably break their vows. 50% end in divorce. Some parents are not reliable for their children. Some children become experts in deceiving their parents. Politicians promise to be faithful with their public trust, and soon they're taking bribes and they're exploiting the system. Speaking of politicians, they say that politicians have three complaints. One, they're underpaid. Two, they're underappreciated. And three, they're under investigation. Salesmen, I thought I'd get an amen to that. Salesmen promise friendly service and they promise guarantees on certain products, but then when you go to cash in on that warranty or that guarantee, sometimes they find a loophole and say, "Well, no, you don't. You know, we're not going to cover that." Ads promise, "Just spray these contents on your bald spot and you're going to have instant hair." Yeah, that's, I'm not speaking from experience or anything, but that's just what they say. And then dentists promise, "This won't hurt much at all." And preachers promise, "I'm not going to preach very long today, and we're not going to ask for any more money." You see what I'm saying? We have all these promises all the time, and then we don't really live up to them. But let me ask you a question. Is there anyone really here who's ever broken a promise to God? No. "Lord, if you get me through this, I'll never do it again. I promise, Lord, that if you just get me through this surgery, I'll never miss a Sunday of church. I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to pray every day. Lord, I'll never doubt you again." You see where I'm going with this? See, we make these deals and we say, "Well, we're going to be faithful." And so often we're unfaithful and we don't even realize we're being unfaithful. I read a tweet the other day from one of my favorite preachers, Rick Ashley. He said, "We have little control over whether or not this year will be better, but we have a lot of control over whether or not we will be." Wow, there's a lot of truth in that, right? We can sit back and we can make excuses and we can wallow in the circumstances, or we can draw closer to God and become better and not bitter. I'm so thankful that we serve a God who is faithful in every single thing that He does. In fact, He cannot be unfaithful. It's just His nature. God is faithful. If He says it, it's gonna happen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 111, verse 7, "The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy." Folks, when life doesn't seem to be going your way or going the way that you think it ought to be going, maybe even life seems to be caving in on you some, the faithfulness of God ought to give you security and dependability in your life that might be lacking in some other areas. And so I want to take a look at that for a while. The faithfulness of God. The first thing that I want to do is I want us to understand three things this morning. And all three, this is a little bit different sermon. And I did this on a Wednesday night a couple of years ago when we started Fuel. And a lot of people that particular night said, hey, you need to preach that on a Sunday morning. So I'm taking your advice, those on Wednesday night. If you don't like this sermon this morning, then I will give you the names of the people on Wednesday night that told me I ought to preach this, okay? Sound like a deal? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And out of the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, we're going to see three important truths. The first is this: God is faithful in His character. All right, we're going to do some more singing. Let's just sing this first verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. I'm so thankful that we serve a God who is 100% faithful 100% of the time. He never changes. And in this world that is constantly changing, it's good to know that our God never does. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's faithful in everything that He does. And if God has said it in His Word, you can bank on it happening. In the Old Testament, God promised Abraham a son. It didn't make any sense because in Genesis chapter 22, He said, and I'm paraphrasing this, I will bless you with incredible blessings, multiply your descendants into countless thousands and millions like the stars above you in the sky and the sands on the along the seashore. I'm going to give you that many descendants. And we need to understand that Abraham is almost 99 years old. Sarah's not far behind. And God said, you're going to have a baby. Hello? Hello? Not only are you going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore, we're going to do this in a miraculous way. You two are going to conceive. You're going to give birth to a son. And what did Sarah do? Anybody know what she did? Yeah, she laughed about that. That's ridiculous. Wouldn't you? I mean, think about it. 90 years old, going to have a baby. Imagine a couple in their 90s today. Applying for Medicare just to cover maternity bills, you know? That's kind of what's going to happen here. And I think Sarah learned a valuable lesson in all of this, and I believe it's a lesson that we need to learn. God's ways are not our ways. Even when God's ways don't make any sense, they're right. You know, God doesn't always do things the way that we think they should be done. He doesn't always do things in the amount of time that we think they ought to be done. But He's always faithful. He always does what He said He's going to do. Sarah gave birth to Isaac, and from that one son came millions of descendants. God told Moses that he would not be allowed to enter into the promised land because of his temper. Remember that story? He got angry and he slammed the two tablets of stone. He smashed them to pieces. Years later, he gets angry again. He flails at the rock with his rod. Remember that? Instead of speaking to it as God commanded him to do. Moses was a bit of a hothead. I don't know if you noticed that or not. God's patience ran out on Moses' temper. He told Moses, as a result of your temper, you're not going to be allowed to go into the promised land. Here's what Moses said, Deuteronomy 3, 23 through 26. At that time I pleaded with the Lord, Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me anymore about this matter. I don't know. Can you imagine the Lord saying to you, don't speak to me anymore about this matter? You know, I always, did anybody ever want to get the last word in with their parents? You know what I'm saying? You know, like, that's it. That's fine. I don't want to hear another word out of you, but you just got to get one more in. You know, I think that's probably why I'm not about 6'3 right now, because I was taken down several notches because I had to have the last word. Here is Moses God is saying, I don't want to hear any more about this. Can you imagine? God is faithful, and He says that He's going to do what He says He will do. And sometimes that's positive. Sometimes it's disciplinary. Oftentimes we like to focus on the positive promises of God, but we want to smooth over those negatives, you know. We just want to live in a happy world where all is well. But we need to understand that God is faithful in everything that He says, even if it's not the most wonderful of things. And He says that one day His patience is going to run out. It's going to run out on us. You know, we read in the Bible time and time again of God making a promise to an individual or to the Israelites, and we see it coming to fruition, and God says, His patience is going to run out one day, and He's going to send Jesus. We read the promises of God concerning the Messiah and all the prophecies told about Him, and God delivered on every single promise about the Messiah. Every single one of them came true. When Jesus, when He walked the earth, God in the flesh, when He made predictions, they came true as well. Jesus predicted that one day He would die and He would come back from the grave 3 days later, and He did. And He predicted that the church would endure forever, and it has. And He told us one day He's coming again. And I believe He will, and I'm banking my very soul on it, my life. And there's no reason to doubt God's promises, because we look at how faithful He's been all throughout Scripture and how faithful He's been in your own life. Some of you might be sitting there and say, yeah, Ron, I agree. Preach it. Well, if you're going to live like Christ, then we need to do what understand that God's going to come through in His promises. If we want to be as much like Jesus as we can, we've got to put our faith and our trust in Him and know that He's going to come through. And you need to be faithful as well. You know, if you want to become like Christ, if you want to be God-like, then you need to do what you say you're going to do. You promise someone, I'll pray for you. Do you? You know, our prayer chain that we get texts from and emails from, this isn't just a gossip hotline. When that goes through, we want you to hit your knees. We want you to be in prayer for people who are struggling. You promise, hey, you know what? God, I trust You with my finances. I'm going to give You 10%. Do you? You promise someone, I'm here for you. You know? Or I'll be there for you. You know what? I'll meet you at a certain time, and I don't care what else comes up. I'm going to be there. Did you make it? Yeah. How many of you said, I'm going to read a couple of weeks ago in a sermon, and I said that I'm going to commit to reading the Word of God every day, and I'm going to ask you to commit that. How many of you signed that, and how many of you are still doing that? If you're not a man or a woman of your word, what are you? Psalm 15, 1 through 4. Lord, who may dwell in Your sacred tent? Who may live on Your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur to others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts. You ever kept a promise? You ever kept an oath even when it was painful to do that? No, that's what God expects of us. And if we're truly going to become the people that God wants us to be, if we're truly striving to be Christ-like, if you really want to see your life change this year, I encourage you to be a person of your word and follow up with what you say you're going to do. Second, we see that God's faithfulness is revealed in nature and creation. Back to the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You ready to sing again? All right, I can tell. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Seems like I complain about the weather a lot. Anybody with me on that? You know, when it's hot, I wish it was cold. When it's cold, I wish it was hot. When it's raining, I wish it wasn't. When it's snowing, I wish it was raining or something crazy like that. You know, I always joke and say, if I could find an area of the country that was 80 degrees all day, every day, all year round, I would be tempted to move there. But the more I think about that, I'd like it for a while, but after a while, I think it'd get old, because I think that God reveals himself in the changing of the seasons. Every time we see the seasons change, it's just a reminder of how faithful God is. Listen to what Genesis 8:22 says. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Now, I get a little bit miffed at the liberal media sometimes. Okay, more than sometimes. Okay, more than a little. All right. So, but we hear all this stuff about, you know, and gosh, you might not agree with me on this, but that's okay. Talk to the Wednesday night people who said I should preach this. I'm not saying global warming doesn't exist. I think there might be some truth to that, but I also think that our world is not so fragile and that it's outside of the reach of the hand of God, that he's not going to say, I'm going to stop this, or I'm going to change this, or here's what I'm saying. Our world's not going to cease to exist until God says it's going to cease to exist. Amen? He created it, and he's going to care for it. I'm not saying there's not some truth. I think this oftentimes it gets embellished and maybe talked about a little bit too much. And I believe that God has given us this earth, and we need to take care of the earth, but God's the one who is ultimately in control. And again, nothing's going to happen to this earth unless he says it's okay, without his approval or disapproval. Psalm 85:11, faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Everything about the world that God created testifies to his faithfulness. Now, you guys know I'm not a farmer, but I'm pretty sure I'm accurate on this assessment. Maybe Kenny, you can back me up on this. Bud, you can back me up on this as well. But I'm pretty confident that if I plant corn in the spring, tomatoes are not going to pop up where I planted corn. Am I right on that? Okay, just want to make sure. Apple tree is not going to produce bananas. It's going to produce apples. Water freezes at 32 degrees and it boils at 212 degrees. There are just certain rules of God's creation that don't change. J. Wallace Hamilton said, perhaps the very constancy of his goodness dims our gratitude. Because the sun shines every day, we scarcely notice it. Because the seasons come with constant regularity, day and night, spring and fall, seed time and harvest, we seem more impressed by the occasional calamity than by the abiding constancy. The process of nature through which his faithfulness is expressed are so constant and reliable that we substitute the uniformity of nature for the good of the Father. And this is the kicker right here. And like spoiled children, we take his faithfulness as a matter of course and rarely ever lift our hearts in real gratitude. In other words, God has been so good to us that sometimes it takes something to kind of shake us up to realize just how good he's been. I think back to the flood of 08, you know. I think back to this past year. I think back to some families that have gone through some really, really difficult times. And even though nobody ever wants to go through those difficult times, that is the time whenever I see people of real, genuine faith cling to their Savior like they haven't before. Sometimes it takes that to wake us up, you know, see how blessed we really are. God is faithful. Through everything that he does, through nature, through his creation, and third, God is faithful in his provisions for us. Again, back to the song. This is the last time I'm going to ask you to sing a cappella. Here we go. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. God promises us pardon for sin. Do you realize how huge that is? That's our greatest need. Yeah? Pardon from sin. That's the thing that we need more than anything. And He promised in the Old Testament that I would send a Messiah, that I would send a sacrifice once and for all. And God was faithful. Jesus came and He died on the cross. He came as a substitute for our sins because we couldn't pay that price. And He did it for every single person who has ever walked the face of the earth. Jesus came to die in your place. He came to die in my place so that we could be free from sin, so that we could be free from death. He went to the cross. He died the death of a criminal so that we, the real criminals, could go free. John 3:16 is the most known and probably well-loved verse in Scripture. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we can rejoice that He is faithful because of what God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that confidence that we have, that produces a peace that passes all understanding. When we know that our sins are forgiven, how many of you ever did something wrong as a kid? Raise your hand. All right, some of you are lying right now, okay? I'm sorry. And you knew what you did was wrong. You knew you were going to be in trouble. And you stood before your parents, and your parents, they were not happy with you. And they might have even punished you. But you knew that they loved you, and they forgave you, and that they will always love you. How does that change your confidence in relationship to your parents? Now, if some of you, and I hate to even go here, but if some of you grew up in a more abusive home where you didn't have that forgiveness and you were punished, but unjustifiably, that this might be harder, this might be more difficult for you to understand. I'm thankful that I grew up in a home where I got my share of whoopings, I'm not going to lie. But I knew that Mom and Dad was doing it. I mean, I didn't know it at the time, but I knew that they loved me, and I knew that they had my best interest in mind, and they wanted to shape me into the character of Christ as much as possible. And when we know that our sins are forgiven, and we know that we serve a God who loves us, even though sometimes there might be some stuff that comes along in our life that's not pleasant, and we know that God loves us not because of our goodness, but because of His promise. That's a game changer, folks. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise from God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's just. He's going to cleanse us from our righteousness. Now, if I promise you that after the service, I say, all right, the very first person who takes your sermon outline handout that I've given to you, and the very first person who finds Mike Imlay in the sanctuary, and you get his autograph on the sermon outline handout, I will give you $20, okay, if I were to say that, okay? And you get Mike's autograph on the sermon outline handout, and you're the first person to see me after church, what are you going to expect? You're going to expect me to pull out my wallet and give you $20. You might not understand why. It might be one of the craziest things I've ever said to you. But you would expect me to follow through on my word if I were to say I'm going to do that. I'm just making sure that I'm not saying that. This is hypothetical, okay? And if the first person who got Mike's autograph on the sermon outline handout came up to me confidently expecting me to give them $20, I wouldn't think it was prideful of them. I wouldn't think it's boastful of them. for the person to say, hey, I'm about to become $20 richer. I think they would believe my promise, right? God promises us whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's a promise, guys. When I say that I'm confident that when I die, I'm going to heaven, I'm not boasting in my goodness. I'm not saying I'm a wonderful person. I'm saying I believe the promises of God, that if I surrender my life to Him and repent of my sins and I'm baptized into Him, He's going to save me. I would just believe that He's faithful. Bob Russell said, to be confident I'm going to be saved through Christ is to praise Him for His faithfulness. To doubt my salvation is to be skeptical of His word and is an affront to His integrity. Don't doubt your salvation. If you've done what the Bible says you need to do to surrender your life to Christ and be saved, don't ever doubt that. Don't ever doubt God's promises. He promises pardon for sin. He promises His presence in our lives. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, he stood up and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. When you become a Christian, God doesn't just pardon you from the sins that you had committed up to that point. He doesn't just bury your sin in the sea, even though He does do that. That's not all that He does. He comes to live inside of you, and His Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And He forgives you for present sins and future sins. Now, that doesn't mean that you have a free ticket to go out and do whatever you want to do. But with His Holy Spirit living inside of you, and if you're listening to His Spirit and you're in His Word, you're not going to, as the old saying goes, you're not going to become sinless, but you will sin less. And the blood of Jesus covers you, and then God looks at you as if He sees Jesus Christ Himself. God is with you each step of the way. And maybe you're sitting here today and you've not experienced that freedom. You've not had that forgiveness of sins in your life. You've never confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Maybe there's just some things in your life that you haven't been able to let go of yet. You've never been baptized. You've never committed your life to serving Him. I think today would be a great day to do that. What a way to start off the new year, amen? And to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our worship team to come, and we're going to sing a song of decision this morning. And if you're here and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, we encourage you to do that. We encourage you to just make your way to the front here, and obviously I'm up here playing the guitar, but I know one of our elders will come to be with you if you have a need this morning. We encourage you to come, and if you're watching online and you say, you know what, I need to make that decision, would you reach out to us? Would you send us an email? Would you send us maybe a Facebook message or call the office and just get in touch with us? We'd love to talk with you about making that decision to follow Jesus. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And we believe that by confessing Him as the Christ and repenting of your sins and by being baptized into Him, God's promises are true. And even though it's not going to be all sunshine and roses from that point out, God will give you what you need. He'll give you that peace. He'll give you that assurance and that confidence that God is still in control and He's faithful. Would you stand with me, please?